The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is either Wednesday, November 3rd or Thursday, November 4th. I'm not quite sure when the podcast drops. We got a lot to talk about today. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers. We're talking about Braun. We're talking about Harden. We're talking about Max's Nice. And we are talking about the next two chapters of Marcus Thompson's Dynasty. So stick around for all of that. But as always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good buddies, Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John. What's up, bubbas?
We were just going to do a fake John voice throughout the episode.
Wouldn't that be funny if I just pretended to be John? John is a DNP with a hospital visit today, and his message is... tell everyone your boy is about to be a motherfucking dad, Bubba.
Oh, and that, yeah.
And that women are fucking gods, and that he married a real one. So that's our update from John.
Our boy about to be a pappy. So yeah, I know some hearts probably dropped when they heard John was in the hospital, but it's the best type of fucking hospital visit. Yeah. We're so excited. So fucking excited.
We're having a hard time. I'm having a hard time focusing on anything else.
Yeah. I've been like, I was waking up in the middle of the night checking my phone and shit. You know, I texted him like 6 a.m. his time to see what was up going on. I'm fucking on the edge of my seat. Like, he texted us yesterday and was like, you know, the water broke and they're on the way to the hospital. I was like, bro, this is some movie shit. I was like, tell her to breathe. I don't know what else to say right here, but I'm excited as fuck. And of course, John texted me back and said that he whoosh breathing shit weak as fuck and John matters. So yeah, man, we're excited as hell, man. So excited.
Yeah, for sure. It's like when one of your close friends is at the hospital, and I feel like especially when it's a dude, it's like you, like as a man, you're sort of helpless and just there, and then as a man's friend, you're even more just like,
yeah.
Well, this is the only thing I'm going to think about all day. Let me know how it goes.
Right.
All right. Well, let's talk about sports or whatever, I guess. Aaron Rodgers, we found out today, tested positive for the coronavirus and will not play this weekend against the Chiefs. I had actually been very excited for that Packers-Chiefs game. Mm-hmm. I think that was going to be the first football game I sat down and watched all the way through this year. But it turns out, Tyler, that not only did he have COVID, but he had been lying about being vaccinated all season.
Bro, he someone asked him, you know, last summer during training camp if he was vaccinated, and he said, I am immunized. You sly dog, you. you lawyer speech motherfucker. Aaron, you got us, but the COVID got you. So you tried to play the long game here, and, you know, you got fucked. So, I mean, I don't know how long he's going to be out. Wishing him the best, of course. I hope he bounces back 100%. But this is going to be some shit where he's out about 3 or 4 weeks, I'm guessing, maybe. You know, especially with the protocols and stuff.
Well, and it raises some other questions. I mean, we're recording this like right after this story broke, but I saw Black Trey was asking us a good question. He's like, did he have a fake vax card? I mean, they had to show that they were vaccinated, and he has been listed. You know, I mean, he's been saying he's immunized for the whole season. According to another report, he has been following the protocols for unvaccinated people in the building. But, I mean, he's at a Halloween party last week. He hasn't been following any of those protocols outside of the building. So, yeah, I think I'll say this, Tyler. I'll be interested to see how this is covered and discussed in relation to how Kyrie Irving has been covered and discussed. And I would say this seems somewhat typical of the way this conversation has gone to me, that Kyrie, even though I disagree with his stand, he took a stand and he was somewhat honest, at least, about what he was doing.
At least he was fully transparent, you know, fucking crazy ass Satan cloud theories and all. But you know, he didn't lie to us about where he stood on this shit. So,
and
know.
Aaron Rodgers did the whitest shit ever.
I'm immunized.
Well, and his face is so, he has such a shitty, like, you know, are you vaccinated? I'm immunized.
Yes. Hey, this is gonna be something. And now I feel like the whole fucking league is going to probably have guys show their vaccination cards again. They're probably gonna verify everybody's vaccination cards again. Like, you ever fuck up at your job and there's an email that's sent out that isn't blaming you, but you know the email is about you, and it's like to the whole fucking company, like you know, be sure to report your time, you know your timesheets on time. We're having difficulties and it's erratic, right. And you know that's because you didn't enter your time that week. Like this is that shit that's gonna happen, where the whole fucking league is gonna have to, you know, double check vax cards and shit now because of Aaron.
I have had one of those emails sent, and I don't care how much you say you don't give a fuck about your job. If one of those emails gets sent, you feel like an ant with a microscope pointing the sunbeam on you.
Right.
They're talking about me.
Yeah. Motherfucking Aaron Rodgers, man, out here in the John Wick fucking Halloween costume, COVIDing it up. What the fuck?
And Because the thing is, he's fucking up their money. That Packers Chiefs game that's the money game for the week.
That's like the regular season game. When we saw that shit, you know, when the schedule was dropped, we're like, yeah, this is the game of the regular season. And now because of being immunized, we don't get the matchup that we wanted.
I put essential oils in my mustache under my nose to filter the toxins out before I breathed them in. I don't know what happened.
I drunk ginger tea every morning to boost my immune system. Fucking Aaron, what the fuck, man?
God damn it. Let's talk about the Braves did it. They did not Atlanta it. A lot of our friends are very happy about this, and I am happy for them, and I am equally happy that fuck the Astros. I was messaging with our friend Tyler I Am last night. As we were trying to see if someone else wanted to hop on the podcast with us on like 6 hours notice today. And he was like, he was drunker, you know, he was enjoying himself. I wasn't even thinking about the World Series, but we both agreed, fuck the Astros forever, and shook hands on that, which was nice. But how did you watch any of the game, or how happy are you for Atlanta fans that, you know, they actually won one and did not Atlanta themselves?
Yeah, they did not Atlanta themselves. Maybe they turn a corner here. You know, University of Georgia, a lot of people are thinking they could probably win the whole football thing. So we'll see. This could be the start of a new era. Who knows? Maybe the Braves are the team that ushered in the whole fucking, you know, maybe the Braves are like the fucking 04 Red Sox, where they turned that whole fucking city into title town after that fucking century long drought. Who knows? We'll see.
That's true. But that is, yeah, so you need the Falcons to steal Tom Brady or some shit now.
Yeah, the Falcons are not. The Falcons aren't even in this. Yeah. They're not even in this equation, bro. Like maybe the Hawks are 5 or 6 years away from a ring or something. Maybe they've got a shot. The Falcons were never going to be worth a damn, ever.
Yeah, Georgia's a much more legitimate shot.
Yeah.
For sure. really enjoyed the Lakers game last night, and a couple of people said I was stupid for saying this, but I think you'll understand. I said this Lakers team is stressful to watch, but it's a fun stressful. Mm. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it makes total sense. Makes total sense.
They're not going to win. Like, they're going to always let the Rockets and the Thunder back in, but when Melo's making threes or when Bron takes over like he did, it's at least we're having fun. You know what I mean?
Right. That fucking fourth quarter from Bron, man. Sheesh. 14 fucking points. Balled out. But yeah, you know, people are just always going to shit on whatever you say about your team, about the team you're following. Like I said, you know, Bron had a great fourth quarter, and everyone's like, oh man, the Rockets are terrible. They're a bunch of kids. And I'm like, okay, motherfucker. Like y'all's, you know, discredited Bron when he beat the fucking 73-win Warriors. You know what I'm saying? So you're not going to give the guy any fucking credit at all. So just let people enjoy things. Stop being a hater.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Maybe that will happen.
It will never happen. That's why you just gotta get some shit out there and mute notifications sometimes.
Right, for sure. I'm with you, and I thought actually last night was, we understand it's the fucking Rockets. Like we get it. We know that they're the Rockets, but I did think that it was more or less the fit that you and I were hoping for, which was they were looking for a Russ. They were looking for a dude that was gonna go 100 miles an hour the whole fucking game and keep things from getting stagnant. When Bron was on the bench, Russ was playing great, scoring and passing, and that kept them in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we got that well-rested Bron who went fucking crazy in the fourth. Like, this was the ideal Russ-Bron dynamic last night. You know, hopefully we see some more of that. Hopefully Vogel can, you know, figure out how to maximize that shit there.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
That's what we wanted to look like in the playoffs, just beating, you know, the fucking Nuggets, not the Rockets.
For sure. For sure.
Okay, I want to talk about, we didn't get a chance to talk about this on the last pod, but the NBA announced before the season that they were going to officiate, what are they calling them, non-basketball moves?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to officiate that differently, which is basically James Harden. And, you know, he's certainly the poster child for this move, but all the weird body movements to draw fouls that he'd been getting calls for.
Yeah.
And I expressed a lot of, I didn't think that they were actually going to be able to officiate this differently. And they have genuinely changed the way that this has been officiated so extensively that there are already highlight reels of James Harden being a total fucking flail bot, just like running into the lane and twisting sideways and throwing the ball up at everything. I've seen people express sympathy for him. I've seen people laughing at him. How do you feel about the way that this is changing? Because I can't really, this doesn't happen in other sports. Mm-hmm. They don't say to the best hitter in baseball, the strike zone's different for you next year. Right. You know what I mean? So how do you feel about this?
First of all, I do not feel any any ounce of sympathy or remorse for James Harden here. For one, because, look, bro, you never needed to do that cheap shit. You're so good, bro. You do not need to be a fucking ref baiter, you know, for one. For two, you know, I was always on board with the non-basketball moves. Like you, no one fucking jumps sideways when they're shooting a jumper to collide with a defender. You know what I'm saying? That's not a basketball move. You know what I mean? Like I'm all for, you know, the straight up pump fake. You get a guy in the air. Okay, you get the bucket there. That's gamesmanship. Because that's a basketball move. That's, you know, them being in your landing space. When you move into someone's landing space and you still get the call there, I can't ride with that. But you know, I don't think this is Harden's demise. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's still going to be a 25-27 point per game guy. He's just going to, you know, he's got some shit to work through. You know, he's got the hammy that he had to work through. He's got the rule adjustments. He's going to be okay. I don't feel any remorse for him. Like I said, it's about time he got rid of that insurance fraud-ass game.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, like, spiritually, I agree with that. I do think it's a testament to how good he's been at hacking the system, basically, because mm-hmm. – In any sport, whether it's basketball or football or baseball, the league is always changing the rules to get the score to go higher, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's true or not, but they think that's what fans want. They want the bigger score, the bigger stats for the star players, all that shit. And yeah. What was the last time rules were changed against an offensive play? Like, maybe Shaq? You know, yeah. I mean, it's really like every quarter century that you see a league go, okay, this is fucking everything up.
like banning Kareem dunks and shit. Like, okay, you're getting buckets too easily here, buddy. You need to get some layups going here, pal.
But, right.
But yeah, it's a very interesting circumstance. And the refs are sticking to it. Like, you know, they just kind of put out a statement earlier this week. Like, we're still riding with this, no matter how much y'all are complaining, you know. And it's going to be this way in the playoffs, too, of course, because refs swallow the whistle even more in the playoffs. So,
right. So
yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. But like I said, I don't think this is Harden's demise. I think he's going to be just fine. It was just time to you know, stop hitting Geico with those fucking fraudulent claims, buddy.
Well, and then, you know, he's certainly not the only one with particularly the running in front of a defender in the backcourt and then stopping and then getting mm-hmm. the foul in there. You know, that was the one that always bothered me the most, because that really is like insurance fraud. That's dangerous for the defender.
Yeah. Soup and swap. Yeah, the fucking Chris Paul, Trae Young special right there.
Right, 100%. So they needed to change it. But in addition to messing with one of the league's best offensive players' whole shit, it is also, especially if Kyrie doesn't come back, that really mm-hmm. changes the dynamic of the whole championship race. Because if you go from KD, Harden, Kyrie to KD and Harden, okay. But if you go from that to KD and Harden not able to draw fouls.
Yeah. KD and Harden, you know, before it was KD, Harden and the refs. Now it's KD and Harden, you know what I'm saying? Like that is a substantial change there. Yeah.
So we'll see, man. I'm curious to see. It does feel like a little bit of a staring contest, and I'm with you. I don't think the refs are gonna blink.
Nah. The refs are not budging. It's time to figure it out, Jim.
Let's talk about this is one of those stories. It's like, if John was here, I don't know how this would have made it into the show, but this is the thing we talked about the most in the group chat in the week that our friend is having a baby. Max's Nice, famous basketball style impressionist, which is not a job that existed 2 years ago on back to the beginning of time, but is now a job, was allegedly robbed at gunpoint in LA for his jewelry, and filmed himself giving an account of what was either a real robbery or a fake story to commit insurance fraud. And in said video, he said that he, when the guys who were robbing him at gunpoint said that they were starving out here, he said, "Let's go to Subway over here."
You guys want some footlongs? Motherfuckers got the burner in your face. You talking about some goddamn meatball marinaras, boy? What the fuck? Listen. Okay, so I'm fully on board with the theory that it's insurance fraud. You know, for one, because I feel like it's too perfect of a string of events. Like, he flicks himself up with the ice and the Rolex on, and then an hour later he comes back and he tells us his story and he gives us an itemized rundown. They took my chain. They took my Rolex. You know what I'm saying? Like, he gives us that whole rundown, and the shit he said about, you know, the robber saying, "We starving out here." I've never been robbed, but I don't know if robbers talk like that, bro. You know what I mean? That's some Family Matters bullshit, bro. That's some Eddie Winslow shit, man. I do not see motherfuckers telling me, "Yo, we starving out here, bro." And then me coming back with, "Well, there's a Subway right there. If you guys want a footlong on me, man." Like, it's just, I don't know. It's a crazy fucking story, whether it happened or not. But, you know, he lived to either lie about it or to tell the truth about it, and we're just gonna laugh at it because that's funny as fuck. You lucky those motherfuckers ain't goddamn light your ass up. You, those motherfuckers wanted diamonds and you're offering them a tuna melt. That is insulting, dog. You need to count your lucky stars if that shit really happened, because you might not be here if you ran up on the right robber with that bullshit.
He said, "I know you want the iced out Rolex, but can I interest you in a soft cookie?"
Those raspberry cheesecake cookies, let me tell you.
Listen, I have not been robbed personally, but I would tell you a law of life that I am very familiar with is when the gun enters the conversation is over, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He said he asked him, he said, let me cash app you $1,000 each.
Yeah. Hey, can you guys give me a trail? Can I pay to have you guys arrested later on? Can we work that out? That's basically what he fucking asked.
Let's put the firearms on the table. Yeah. Can I get your routing number?
Right. Can I put a deposit down on getting you traced to the police? Is that something that you'd be open to here? What the fuck, Max?
Yeah, man, this is some special shit. And I, you know, I'm with you on the insurance fraud, because I don't think, look, the punishment for hitting someone is not particularly higher than the punishment for robbing someone at gunpoint. And anyone who's making money doing that knows what all the sentencing guidelines are and what they can and can't do, in my understanding, right? So there's no way you say to these dudes, "Let me cash app you. Let me take you to Subway," and they don't hit you on the. It's like,
right, that's enough out of you. You, yeah, know what I mean? You would have got gun butted, or, you know, also some goddamn steamboat robbery type bullshit.
Well, you catch an elbow in the nose, whatever. You catch, yeah, some. You get a truth serum injection, right? You get a, yeah, like, "You know what, buddy? We need you to just shut the fuck up and do what we're telling you to do." Like, yeah. And he looked pristine as fuck, except that he was missing his jewelry. So I'm with you on the insurance fraud thing. I don't even know if that's a conspiracy theory. That just feels like probably the truth to me. So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's I don't know. That was a fucking story, bro. That was some goddamn Fresh Prince shit. Remember when Will got shot during the robbery at the ATM? Because did you see the tweet when he was like, "If when they try to rob me again, it ain't gonna go so sweet for them." motherfucker is Carlton Banks with the motherfucking revolver in the hotel, in the hospital room right now, bro. What the fuck?
Man.
Damn, I wish John was here for this segment. It'd have been pure fucking comedy.
Yeah, I know. He was.
Hey, I'm going to do a John impression right quick. I'm going to ask some of his commentary right here.
Nigga, you talking about L.A. different. Motherfuckers been getting robbed since the motherfucking Stagecoach days, bro. Nigga, you out here offering the robbers tuna subs. Nigga, you different. L.A. ain't different. Nigga, you different.
That's my John impression.
That's fucking great. That's perfect. Thank you. That did my spirit good. So the way I found the video was everyone in Long Beach and Compton in L.A., was just quoting it, making fun of him for saying LA is different because it's always been.
Yeah, what the fuck? I mean, lucky you ain't get your ass clapped up. Like, that's the biggest takeaway that should have came from all of this, bro.
Right.
You know?
Because he said he walked out of the club wearing however many tens of thousands of dollars in jewelry by himself, like, not paying any kind of attention. Like, dude, you are being staked out.
Yeah.
With people looking for that shit, and he posted his jewelry on his fucking social media and everything too. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
right. That motherfucker looked like a lick. Bro was in all white, just like glowing, like come rob me. You know what I'm saying?
spotlit the Cuban links,
right? The fuck.
Come on, I don't know, man. So but like to suggest that there's always been part of LA, the bigger part of LA, feeding on that. You know the. It's just there's a lot more, quite frankly, there's a lot more stupid fucking people in L.A.
Yeah.
with money at this point. Because if you
I imagine the influencer influx has got the Jack boys like, oh, yeah, it's time to eat now. And we ain't talking Subway. We talking those motherfucking chains. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I can for sure see that.
Yeah, they're not eating at Subway right now. Because when you came to Hollywood for money, if you were involved in the film industry, there was an industry built to protect you. And to explain
right.
things to you and security, etc., with the
right.
YouTube, TikTok shit,
right.
it's
because
just
for
kids,
one, because,
it's just
yeah.
20-year-olds from fucking Indiana moving to L.A. like,
exactly.
whoop-a-doo!
Exactly. And like you were saying about, like, you know, the actors who were coming there, they were being protected because it was like motherfuckers were like, we're the only ones who are going to extort these guys. You know what I'm saying? You no one robs them but us. We need to get that understood. You know what I mean? So they bring the mob in for that type of muscle and shit. So, yeah, it's a whole different world with these fucking influencers now, bro. I'm sure they're looking like food out there right now.
100%, yeah. They just look like a big lazy seal just floating right. on the surface, turning circles, happy as fuck in the sunlight. Like, there's a whole ocean below you, bro.
Right, with the motherfucking LeBron high school jersey on, just looking like food.
All right, thoughts and prayers to Max is nice. I hope the insurance claim goes through without a hitch. I don't know, man. This week marks the halfway point of the NFL season, and there's a big Sunday afternoon matchup between Green Bay and Kansas City. FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. We're recording this before any news is broken about this game, but I just have a feeling that the Chiefs are going to come out on top. So I'm going to build a same-game parlay with the Chiefs' money line spread. I'm going to take the over on Patrick Mahomes' passing yards and hopefully hit that same-game parlay. But offers like this are just one of the many reasons I love betting the NFL on FanDuel. It's the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use, it's safe and secure, and it has fast payouts. FanDuel is sports betting made simple, and they're always hooking you up with great offers. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up with promo code JNJ this week before Green Bay takes on Kansas City. That's J&J. You could win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code JNJ so they know I sent you, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. New users only, $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus, $150. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Restrictions apply. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, let's talk about Dynasties by Marcus Thompson. We are talking about the Kobe and Shaq Lakers chapter and the Duncan Spurs chapter, yes?
Yes, yes.
Yes. I love these chapters because this is my shit. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. It's you know, like the shit that we weren't there for, that we were too young for, was history. This is like nostalgia, reminiscing type shit. You know what I'm saying? So for sure. So yeah, man. I will say the one thing, you know, I'm always learning something in these chapters, even when I think I know every fucking thing. Like, I swore I knew everything about the Shaq and Kobe Lakers. I had no idea Phil Jackson and Jerry West had beef. You knew that?
Yes. Yeah, that's part of why Jerry has been at the other California teams and has said that the bridge to the Lakers is closed because since obviously Jerry Buss's daughter and Phil, you know, were an item and everything, it's like it's all still wrapped up in that shit. Yeah. No, he was really like hurt by the way everything went down. And I would say quite understandably. You know what I mean? Like, he's at least as responsible as Phil, I would say, for, you know, certainly for putting the team together.
Oh, for sure. He got Kobe and Shaq fucking, like, 3 weeks apart. Like, come on, man. Yeah.
You know? And so, and then all he's done is go to other teams and pull off similar moves.
Right.
But not have the head coach be like, oh, this is an old man, bro. Like, this dude's not cool enough to hang out with me. You know?
Yeah. I wonder where that beef stemmed from. It might have stemmed from the playing days, but I don't understand old guys, you know, in management and coaching beefing like that for no fucking reason. But
it's kind of cute, isn't it? It's like, you both just a couple of rich old white dudes, bro. Like, why are you mad at each other?
Grumpy old men, you know what I'm saying? Like fucking Walter Matthau or whoever the fuck. Right? Like, it's like some shit like that. I did not know that, though. You learn something new every day.
Yeah, for sure. I wouldn't say I learned it, but what was interesting for me is it's difficult to explain to kids. Like, when I talk to high school kids, you can't really explain to them how different it was being a basketball fan in the 90s and early 2000s when you didn't have smartphones. The internet did not exist in the way that it currently exists. There was no Twitter or social media. And so it was like, I just remember literally hearing on ESPN that we got Shaq. You know what I mean? And there wasn't this. Like, when the Lakers signed Braun, I had been thinking about that moment for 2 fucking years and following every, like, I knew what high schools he and Savannah had been going on tours of to see where their kid, like, and at the time, I mean, certainly it's not like there weren't celebrities and a media saturation. It just was not as in your face. So reading the story of how that team got put together in that short period of time, it just was like, I was thinking a lot about that, how differently we would have experienced that now versus then when it was like, I don't know. It really made me remember how different it was and kind of more enjoyable, to be honest with you, in my opinion, to be a sports fan at that time.
Yeah, for sure. I vividly remember, you know, the summer 96. I remember the two big free agents were Gary Payton and Michael Jordan that summer. No one really put a lot of thought into where Shaq was going. It's kind of, you know, assumed that he was just going to re-up with the Magic. And then we got that news that he went to the Lakers. That shit was a shocker. You know what I'm saying? None of us really saw that shit coming. We were blindsided by that. But it kind of goes back to how, because the thing is, like when people talk about that trade now, they talk about how people in Orlando saw it coming.
Right.
Because you know, the thing about the whole, there wasn't a really national fucking sports media like it is today. You know what I mean? Like, people in Orlando were tagged in. Like, they were like, bro, he's probably not coming back. But then the rest of the fucking nation was kind of taken aback by it. You know what
I mean? Yeah, for sure. Because at the time, the only thing that would make it from the Magic to SportsCenter, which was the only national thing that everyone was really watching or inside the NBA or whatever, was a clip of Shaq dunking. You know, you weren't reading beat writers weren't on Twitter. Like, I follow beat writers from the Magic. I don't give a fuck about the Magic. You know what I mean? But but if they had a Shaq now who was expressing that he was not all that happy, we would all know about it 10 seconds after the dude fucking said
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So, that aspect of it was crazy. And then I just remember, like, I don't know. I mean, I watched so many of those playoff games with friends of mine who were big Lakers fans. And it's so much fun watching games on Twitter with people now. But being fucking 16 and being a fan of the best basketball team in the world was the fucking best. You're just hanging out. You'd go play basketball outside for fucking 4 hours after a game was over. You know?
Right. Just turn the fuck up. Yeah. Yeah, it was a different era back when you were waiting to, like, you know, go to school the next day to talk shit, you know, instead of being on Twitter during the whole fucking live stream shit, you know. Whole different vibes. It was a good time, man.
Totally.
But
different vibe.
Marcus made a good point in that Lakers chapter about how, you know, the rift and the beef between Shaq and Kobe, how that kind of ushered in the whole you know, media spin of kind of examining the personal feelings of NBA players, you know, in regards to how they felt to each other. And that is a staple of NBA coverage now. Does this guy like this guy? Does that guy like that guy? Why doesn't this guy like this guy? Does this guy want to play with this guy? Why does this guy want to leave that guy? You know what I mean? And that you can, and he makes the good point that, you know, the tumultuous relationship between Shaq and Kobe was kind of where that all spawned from.
Yeah, and he brought up the free agency thing, too. He said the NBA has grown into a 12-month sport. The transactions, the relationships, the frictions, they're all part of the never-ending storyline in the NBA, and the league has the Kobe Shaq Lakers to thank for that. I'd certainly never thought of that. Mm-hmm. I just grew up with, you'd see in the paper every day. I mean, it was just like, that's what the LA Times beat, you know. We could talk to J.A. about it, you know, but, like, that's what everyone was hanging on that shit, you know. Did Kobe say something passive-aggressive about Shaq, whatever else? Because it was like, you know, it was like your parents were fighting. You just you're always reading the tea leaves on, like, is this going to be a good weekend, or are we, you know, like, am I sneaking out the back or whatever?
Right. Like, we didn't find out that MJ fucking, you know, blackballed Zeke from the Dream Team until fucking years later. Like, we didn't know that shit summer 92. You know what I mean?
Right.
But we kind of knew that, you know, Kobe and Shaq had their differences in real time. Like, I remember that 2001 season when they were going on, like, a skid, like, the second half of the season. There were reports coming out about them, button heads in practice and such. And that was, you know, we were observing that in real time, you know, in 2001. And that was, like, the first time that I can, you know, say that I really do recall that. So
that was
a great point that I hadn't really considered that Marcus touched on.
So we go to the Tim Duncan Spurs. I was hoping that he would like, when we first started the book club for the podcast, the whole thing was we were reading books that we did not read in high school, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, seeing if we appreciated it more, like we read Siddhartha or whatever. I was hoping this would be like that, because I fucking hated the Spurs the whole time. And I was hoping I would read this and be like, like, get some sort of newfound appreciation. And I just hate him. I just hate him the same amount. Like,
so you never, you know, like, I was a person who the Spurs used to bore me to death. But I'll say towards the end of their dynasty, like the 2010s, I grew a really, you know, deep appreciation for the style of basketball they played. You wouldn't say that's the case for you?
I enjoyed the 2014 championship because I've always been a Ginobili fan. You know, because I didn't realize he was Italian through Argentina. I just thought he was Italian. And so that's ingrained in me from my grandpa's. If someone's last name ends in a vowel, we root for them. so I enjoyed that one. But no, I mean, I just think it's difficult. And even if you trace this through Marcus's book, he's talking about the development of the league into an entertainment vehicle. And then it just, you reach this chapter and it just sort of comes to a screeching halt with Tim Duncan, right? He just was like, not doing it. It's the social media era. It's the, we just were talking about Shaq and Kobe, and he's like, I'm just not doing it. I'm not interested in any of it. I just want to play basketball. I'm going to make funny jokes with my teammates and my coach, but never anywhere else, you know? And I just, like, as great as he was, as much an appreciation as I know I'm supposed to have, I'm supposed to think that The Scarlet Letter is a great fucking book or whatever. I don't have a heart for it. You know what I mean? This didn't change it, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I grew to appreciate the Spurs towards the end of their run. You know what I mean? So I thought this was a good, you know, retrospect on it. And, you know, Marcus makes the point that the Spurs internationalized the league. You know, when he talked about how they, you know, that they were going and scouting out in Euro leagues. You know, of course, Tony Parker, Ginobili, fucking Boris Diaw, you know, fucking Thiago Splitter. Like, that is the thumbprint that they've left on the league, is that it's an international league now. You can trace a lot of that back to the Spurs.
Well, and he said, you know, it's like Duncan technically grew up as an American citizen, but the Virgin Islands, I mean, like,
yeah.
I mean, when Pop went to go talk to him, he just would, like, walk outside of his house and go swim in the ocean for 2 hours a day or something. Like, that dude is not an American in that way. You know what I mean? Like, he's as much an international player as everyone else, even if technically he was an American citizen, in my opinion. So
Yeah, like, he started playing basketball when a hurricane fucked up the swimming pool he used to go to. Right. That was the only reason he picked up a basketball. Picked up a basketball because you get 5 rings just because a hurricane fucked up swimming. Like, this 7-foot motherfucker was out there backstroking and shit. You know what I mean? And then a hurricane fucked all that up. So that's crazy. I did like the story that he told about when Tim Duncan was giving Ethan Thomas in-game advice on how to play against him.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
He was literally telling him, no, you got to get a little bit more into my body so you can create space.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I'll read that for the listeners here to give them some context. Okay, the story goes that Ethan Thomas, playing for the Wizards, posted up Duncan. With his back to the basket, he pivoted toward the middle of the lane to go for the reliable jump hook. But Duncan, with his 7'3" wingspan, blocked the shot by Thomas. They both ran to the other end of the court after the change of possession. That was when Duncan started talking to Thomas. "That was a good move," Thomas remembers Duncan saying. "But you have to get more into my body so you can either draw the foul or I can't block it." Thomas, a Tulsa, Oklahoma native, was a 6'9" power forward who was strong and physical enough to play some center. He was a 2-time Big East Defensive Player of the Year at Syracuse before being drafted number 12 overall in the 2000 NBA draft. He was by no means on the level of Tim Duncan, but Thomas was no slouch. That was why Duncan's mid-game coaching was surprising. He thought Duncan might have been taunting him with condescension. But Duncan was a superstar, and trash talk wasn't really Thomas's style. So the Wizards big man just said okay. But the next time he had Duncan in the post, he heeded the advice. He pivoted toward the middle again, but he leaned his shoulder into Duncan's chest. The blow grounded Duncan long enough for Thomas to get off his skyhook. This time, Duncan couldn't block it. Thomas missed, but he wasn't swatted again. So that was a victory. Duncan chimed in again. "Much better," he said. Then he continued playing. Thomas was so caught off guard that even after the game, he had to tell someone. He called his buddy Z Chilton to tell him about one of the most unique conversations he's had on a basketball court. He realized Duncan wasn't being sarcastic or condescending, but helpful to a big man trying to make his way in the league. "Tim Duncan is honestly one of the nicest guys in the NBA," Thomas wrote in a Facebook post revealing the encounter, "and one of the best power forwards ever. Respect." So, yeah, that's just the type of guy Timmy was, man.
And as a person, that's how I relate to people like that and everything. It is also funny that he told that story in a Facebook post, as we were just talking about the evolution of things. Now he would have told it on his own podcast.
Right.
You know?
He would have had a fucking Players Tribune post for that shit.
I do think, and I'll end my thoughts on this chapter on this, you know, Marcus's, I don't know that I agreed with Marcus's thesis for the book, that dynasties are the most hated thing and that hatred is what's fueled the NBA, right? Just because to me, basketball is the most joyful sport compared to football, where you're sometimes, these teams are literally trying to kill each other, it seems like, right? Basketball has been such a joyful sport in my experiences around it that I didn't know if I fully agreed with his thesis until I read the quote from Kobe at the end of the Spurs chapter, which unlocked for me why I just cannot get to a place of appreciating them. Kobe says, "The talent, the coaching, everything in San Antonio was kind of a perfect storm. If they weren't in the picture, we probably would have run 10 championships in a row." And that is why I hated the Spurs. It's why I still hate the Spurs. And so Marcus is right, you know?
Yeah, so there you have it. There you have it. Hate is fun.
Yep, for sure. Okay, so the last three chapters, which we'll read, maybe for the next podcast, maybe for Thursday, I guess we'll figure that out. We're obviously still kind of trying to figure out what we're going to do for the next episode or two a little bit. Yeah. But the last three chapters are the King Dynasty, which is just LeBron and all of his incarnations, the Steph Curry Warriors, and then the Near Dynasties, which I'm definitely interested to talk about as well. So we're going to finish the book. For you, just go ahead and read it. You know, I mean, shit. Just and then
just read, book, just read the motherfucking book.
Just finish the book, bro. It's like another 40 pages. I like that we're doing this book though, because I've heard from people who are like, I have not read the book yet, but I'm just enjoying listening to you guys talk about these teams. You know, because it's like it's pretty easy. Like, you know what we're talking about. We're talking about LeBron. We do that anyway.
Right. Exactly. A nice, you know, lighter change of pace from the heavy shit that we've been, you know, discussing. So,
yeah, it's a little lighter.
Yeah,
it's a little bit lighter.
Yeah.
Just since John's not here, John wanted us to read Beloved.
Beloved, bro.
And you and fucking I were both beloved. Like, that book, I needed therapy from that book, bro.
Right? That is a, that, I mean, it's a great piece of work, but that shit is a horror book, bro. It's some heavy shit going on in that book, man.
It's fucking heavy. That book is heavy. Yeah, for sure. All right, well, all of our love, obviously, with John and Radha, who are currently bringing our baby niece into the world. We're going to end the podcast and just sit by our phones waiting for text messages. So.
About to bug the fuck out of John when I get off this shit. Like, where we at, dog? What we looking like?
Yep, same here. So we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for fucking with us. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. I did John's bye for him.
You're always here in spirit, John boy.